The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Hey, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, July 15th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live from our remote location in Boise, Idaho. We are at the Reinhardt home, where Lindsay Reinhardt is joining us. Say hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
The joke is, hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
There you go. Lindsay Reinhardt's in our chat room. She'll be joining in the chat room, taking your questions. Also, we're going to speak to her at the end of the show in our cannabis community chat, get an update on what's been happening in her life since, of course, she was on The View and what's developing with Compassionate Idaho and trying to get medical marijuana or some sort of reasonable laws in this state where me just being here is illegal. The content of my blood is against the law in the state of Idaho. So we'll talk about that at 45 after. Also, at half past on Mondays, we always do this. We visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A segment. So get your questions ready. If you got a question on cannabis science, culture, history, or health, you can bring it to our chat room live on Ustream, or you can just call into our live number, 971-533-7111, where Brian the Red is manning at Rollatide Studios there in Portland. How's the weather in Portland? There, Brian?
It's pretty warm. It was actually really warm yesterday wearing my hoodie at the Trayvon Martin Justice Rally.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in hour two. I got a lot to say. Had an amazing experience in Colorado speaking to a woman about that Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman verdict. So we'll talk about that in hour two. For those of you looking forward to the photos and the videos from the 710 Cup, haven't had time to do any video processing yet, but I've got some photos up. If you go to my Radical Russ page on Facebook, you can see some of the pictures from the fun we had at the 710 Cup in Denver. Also coming up in Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at the prosecution of Oregon dispensaries, even though we passed our dispensary law, and we've got our 420 Radio News headlines coming up pretty soon. So lots of stuff coming up on today's show. Big shout-outs to Ty Stick and Lively Libra in the chat room. We got to hang out with them. Libra did some fantastic videotaping for the Libra Lounge. It'll be coming up soon, I hope this Sunday, on 420 Radio. So check that out. Stay tuned for that. And all sorts of stuff coming up. I don't know what we got for a tune today. I'm letting Brian pick that out for Roots Monday today. But stay tuned. We'll be right back on TuneIn and Stitcher and iTunes and Ustream and everywhere you're watching us. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 15th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Legal marijuana begs the question from growers, what about hash? From the New York Daily News. Substance abuse experts are concerned that such increasingly popular, extremely potent, and potentially dangerous pot extracts will be sold and that state regulators' interpretation of the recreational marijuana law will allow people to buy vastly more hash than they need for personal use. That, they fear, will increase the chances that some of it will end up in the black market out of state. The legal weed law, passed by voters last fall, allows adults over 21 to possess up to an ounce of dried pot, 16 ounces of pot-infused solids, such as brownies, or 72 ounces of infused liquids, such as soda. When the state-licensed stores open sometime early next year, that's how much people will be allowed to buy. The law precluded the sale of pure hash and hash oil, but didn't specifically address concentrated marijuana sales. That's led to a conversation about hash's place in the newly legal pot world. The regulators at the Washington Liquor Control Board, who are charged with overseeing the creation of the new legal pot industry, issued draft rules this month saying hash and hash oil can be used in marijuana-infused products, even if the product that's being infused is just a drop of olive oil or glycerin, for example. In effect, stores can get around the ban on hash or hash oil sales by simply adding a minuscule amount of some other substance to what is otherwise nearly pure THC, the primary high-inducing compound in cannabis. Quote, when we set the 72-ounce limit, we were thinking about marijuana juice or tea, not a high-potency extract like that, end quote, said Allison Holcomb, the Seattle lawyer who primarily drafted Washington's law. Holcomb said it will be up to state lawmakers to adopt new ceilings on marijuana concentrate sales early next year, sometime before the state-licensed stores open for business. The legislature could also tweak the law to allow for sales of pure hash and hash oil, something hash makers would like to see. In Colorado, which also legalized recreational pot last fall, stores will be allowed to sell hash and hash oil. Marijuana seeds of discontent planted throughout Germany's parks by way of protest. From the New York Daily News. A German city is going to pot, literally, after cannabis activists sowed several pounds of marijuana seeds in its parks, planter boxes, and gardens. Göttingen has been hit by green-fingered pro-pot elves who are protesting against what they say is the national demonization of the drug. The group, which calls itself A Few Autonomous Flower Children, started laying its seeds of objection in June. Members claim their guerrilla gardening is against Germany's restrictive drug policies and say it's incomprehensible why cannabis, unlike alcohol, cannot be legally purchased. And they are now witnessing the fruits of their labor as the first marijuana plants start to bloom, reports Der Spiegel. Cops are now facing a running battle to keep the illegal plants from sprouting up, with some even appearing directly in front of the city's main police station. 7 News audit, 12 doctors write half the medical marijuana patient recommendations in Colorado, from the Denver Channel. Auditors say a dozen physicians have issued half of the medical marijuana recommendations in Colorado and that the state is not providing enough oversight, so only qualified individuals get referral to use the drug. A report released Monday found that 12 physicians were responsible for 50% of the current 108,000 medical marijuana red cards as of March. Auditors say some doctors have also recommended what appear to be higher than reasonable amounts of the drug. One patient received a recommendation for 501 plants. Pot is now legal for everyone over 21 in Colorado, but the state still maintains a medical marijuana registry. Monday rally rolls out support for legalizing recreational marijuana use in Portland, from Bangor Daily News.
Proponents of legalizing the recreational use of marijuana in Maine's largest city plan to rally support for their cause on Monday afternoon, just hours before the Portland City Council is scheduled to consider a petition on the issue. A coalition of groups, including the Portland Green Independent Committee, the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine, and the National Marijuana Policy Project, collected 2,508 certified signatures of registered Portland voters on a petition seeking to legalize possession of small amounts of pot in the city. The legalization ordinance proposed by the coalition would allow adults 21 and older to possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana within city limits, while prohibiting recreational use of the drug in public spaces, including school grounds and on public transportation. Red Hook announces hemp beer to celebrate cannabis legalization in Washington, from the Weed Blog. Red Hook Brewery, in collaboration with Hilliard's Beer, has announced today the release of a new beer called Joint Effort, brewed using hemp seeds, which is being released in celebration of cannabis being legalized in Washington State. It'll be available on draft starting today and will launch in 22-ounce bottles under the Blue Line label late in October. It will be sold exclusively in Washington State. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 15th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at prosecutions of dispensaries in Oregon that were just made legal under the new HB 3460. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's in osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weed.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal. Because weed makes you stupid.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Welcome back, everybody. It's just about 13 after, time for us to go behind the headlines. And the headline I see coming out of my own home state of Oregon while I've been away comes from the Oregonian, the state's largest paper, and a story that Noel Crumby put out called Prosecutions Continue Despite Legislation Allowing Medical Marijuana Retail Outlets. And what this is in reference to, of course, is we had House Bill 3460, which the governor is expected to sign, and it creates legal medical marijuana dispensaries. Sets them up. They can't be 1,000 feet from a school. They can't be 1,000 feet from each other. Various regulations, inspection rules, all the things that you would expect from a regulated system that activists in the state have been fighting for years. We put two initiatives on the ballot that failed, trying to bring some order, some regulation to what is an inevitable market. It's an inevitable market. You cannot create 55,000 legal patients and a 20,000 legal growers and not expect there to be some commerce going on there. You cannot repeal the law of supply and demand. And so long as those 55,000 patients need some medicine, somebody's going to step up with the supply. The only question is whether or not that's going to be regulated and taxed, or whether they're going to play wink, wink, nudge, nudge like we have been. The problem that comes up with this story is the fact that we do have a number of activists, all friends of mine, who are being prosecuted for trying to supply safe access to these patients. In Washington County, we've got the prosecution going on of the Human Collective. That's Don Morse and Sarah Bennett. Again, friends of mine, just for, full disclosure here. Being prosecuted for their dispensary operation, the Human Collective, that they had running in Washington County. Now, what's odd about this is the Human Collective is actually one of the models, if not the model, for the bill that just passed. It was the best run in the state, the one trying the hardest to live up to the strange and arcane rules that are written up in the medical marijuana program about reimbursements and supplies and utilities. They tried their best to try to follow that poorly written law. And in the way that they were operating, everything that they were doing, at least as far as I understand, would be the guideline for what we would do under this 3460 as to how a legal marijuana dispensary in the state of Oregon should run. Nevertheless, despite the fact we get our legislature passing this, the governor ready to sign it, and the people generally wanting it, we still have prosecutors that want to go forward and with felony charges against these friends of mine and put them behind bars and separate and destroy their families. Because as they say, this conduct, this is Bracken McKee, he's the senior deputy district attorney in Washington County, quote, "This conduct was against the law at the time people committed the crime. We are expected to hold people accountable," end quote. I see. So I guess the opinion of Bracken McKee, the DA in Washington County, is rules. The rules is the rules. Doesn't matter that it's going to be legal now. Doesn't matter that these people were patients. Doesn't matter if they were helping other people that were patients. Doesn't matter there were no victims in this. Everybody involved with it wanted to be involved with it. Doesn't matter that we helped sick people. Doesn't matter that we were trying to follow a poorly written law. Doesn't matter to Bracken McKee. Bracken McKee's got rules to follow. And the rules are more important than the people and the families those rules will destroy. In Malheur County, that's way out in eastern Oregon, District Attorney Dan Norris says he will continue prosecution of his case on a dispensary. That would be the 45th parallel out in Ontario, Oregon. Again, friends of mine running this operation where they were helping out patients not just in Oregon, but a lot of people from Idaho, as we like to call them, red state refugees, people from the Boise metro area, from Caldwell, Nampa, who are sick and disabled, who live in one of the worst states in the world to live as far as a medical marijuana patient, driving 50 miles, driving 1 hour one way just to go get some medicine at this dispensary. Because, of course, Oregon, you're allowed to be a patient. Doesn't matter where you're from. We don't have a residency requirement. So it was perfectly legal what was going on as far as far as Oregon was concerned. Perfectly legal that patients could come over there. But again, the DA there, Dan Norris, wants to continue to prosecute them despite the fact we have just passed a bill making medical marijuana dispensaries legal. And, of course, in southern Oregon, we've got our friend Lee Duckworth, the Southern Oregon Four down there who are running the Southern Oregon Normal dispensary in Jackson County. And, again, the Jackson County prosecutors want to move forward with that. Now, a Oregon School of Law professor says this is legally solid ground because, yes, indeed, it was illegal at the time, or they allege what was going on was illegal at the time, and they could move forward with this, absolutely, but the problem is passage of this bill is going to make things a little more difficult. How are you going to seat a jury? especially in Jackson County. How are you going to seat a jury that is going to be willing to put these people behind bars for decades when what they were doing will be legal by the time this goes to trial? And the other thing I had to say about this, remember when 502 and Amendment 64 passed in 2012, just a little while ago, and how prosecutors in Colorado and Washington State dismissed cases by the hundreds with respect to marijuana possession? Denver DA Mitch Morrissey, City Attorney Doug Friednash said they'd stop pressing charges. In Washington State, Thurston County in Olympia, they said they'd stop pressing charges. Clark County, King County, Spokane, all these areas where they dropped charges against people because what they were charged with, while it was illegal at the time, and while they still were on solid legal ground to prosecute them for possessing marijuana, decided that, oh, we've heard the will of the people. We've heard the voice of the people, and maybe we shouldn't prosecute these people. I can only wish that the prosecutors in Oregon would get some of that common sense. Hey, that sound means it's 20 after, and I'm in Idaho, so it's officially 420. Toke him if you got him. I'll be right back.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Roller Ring, Roller Ring.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Ring.
Funky Roller Ring.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Ring.
I like it.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, yeah. Having a 420 here in the state of Idaho, and I didn't have time to put together music for the day. Usually I like to bring back, when I go on these weekend gigs, I like to bring back some film of one of the bands that was playing. Unfortunately, I ran out of batteries on my Zoom cam and didn't get the music that I wanted. So I'm turning things over to Brian the Red, who's live at Rollatide Studios to handle something from the archives for us for Roots Monday. What you got, Brian?
Well, when you said, Brian, pick out something for Roots Monday, one name kind of stuck in my head, Benny Goodman. And so we've got Benny Goodman here, and this is Roll'em.
Thank you. activity of a 14-year-old after smoking marijuana. If you use pot, you're not using your brain.
On the road again. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are live coming to you from Boise, Idaho, and we are speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who is in Albany, New York. How are you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a nice day. You?
Oh, good day so far, aside from being in Idaho. My blood is a controlled substance here, Dr. Mitch. It's got me scared.
I understand your fear.
Well, we just returned from the 710 Cup, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that with you, Dr. Mitch. But before we get started, we always give Dr. Mitch a chance to open up with what the latest developments are in cannabis science while we get our questions ready in our chat room. So what's new, Dr. Mitch?
A new paper out in Cancer Causes Control, which I know is the craziest name for a journal ever, but it's Marijuana Use and Risk of Lung Cancer, a 40-year cohort study. And we've talked before about Don Tashkin's data in Los Angeles, where at a 30-year follow-up, it looked like cannabis certainly was not increasing risk for lung cancer. And now this one suggests a twofold risk for heavy cannabis users, and I'm sure it's going to get a whole lot of media attention. I just want to let people know ahead of time how to combat this. First and foremost,
we're going to combat it with sound effects, I believe.
Yes. First and foremost, this is not a sample where there were a lot of folks who used cannabis and only cannabis, and so they tried to statistically control for the tobacco effect in hopes of then estimating what cannabis would be like if you only smoked that. It's sort of like those fights you used to get with in junior high where people would say, well, if you had my bone structure, you'd weigh more or something like that. It's just a real nonsense approach to a very difficult problem. That said, they do have their statistics done well, and there is a doubling of risk for lung cancer in their heavy users. And heavy users were, try not to laugh, people who'd use 50 times in their lives.
Wow.
That said, I really feel like the take-home message is if you are going to smoke anything, cannabis is certainly the thing. And cigarettes, man, they will kill you. And then I can get on my usual soapbox about vaporizers, but I think all our listeners know if you're willing to, you know, have a little splurge for a vaporizer, I think 40 years from now, you'll really thank yourself.
You know, and that's great segue for my questions on this 710 Cup that I was just out at Denver. For one thing, I'm seeing a development of a lot of these vaporizer pens, vape pens, different ways of consuming these concentrated hash oils. And one concern I heard raised was the worry about whether or not they're being made with cheap parts or we're getting burned metal. And we talked a little bit about that last week. But the development that I wanted to bring up, oh my goodness, I saw a tweet come across from our friend Kevin Sabet, who was reacting to a Washington Post story on concentrates and hash and how, you know, now that weed is legal in Washington and Colorado, that there's a question, is hash legal? And Sabet said something to the effect is, if this is the direction we're going, we're in big trouble because dabbing is deadly.
Well,
deadly, Dr. Mitch. It's deadly.
This is why it's hard to take prohibitionists seriously. I actually just spoke to Mallory Laughlin, my grad student, who some of you guys know from the conference that Normal had here in Philadelphia, and she has the first dab data that we collected. And what a surprise, no one reported dying from dabbing.
No deaths reported yet.
So I still think we're safe as far as that's concerned. We do have the occasional, you know, hey, I got burned on a nail and things like that. We're not seeing higher rates of dependence, though, or anything like that. I am apprehensive about the concentrates and things like that just because it's really rapid dosage. And, you know, anytime you change your blood concentration of anything that fast, it's always going to have a big impact. We have seen folks get a little woozy, shall we say, mm-hmm. under the circumstances. I keep coming back to this, and I hate to sound like my father, but damn, the pot is so good now. Do you really need to go out with this? So that's my real feeling. But no, dabbing is not deadly. These pens, so I got to see one of these when I was at the Boston Freedom Rally, and it's a delightful gizmo. I think it's really interesting how folks have worked them out. But you don't want heat next to plastic and then suck that in. I mean, it's not a great idea. So I completely understand some of the apprehensions, but we don't have the data to point towards, oh, this is dangerous yet.
You know, in walking around the 710 Cup this weekend in Denver, I kind of got the feeling it was a younger set than when I go to a cannabis cup or a normal convention. It was definitely a younger set. Being 45 myself, I definitely felt like an outlier there. And one of the things I hear repeated, or maybe it's just a feeling that I get from the emerging 710 culture, is their kind of disdain for plant material. They kind of present it as, we're doing dabs because it's safer, because you're just getting the THC and the cannabinoids that you want. You're not having to ingest a bunch of smoke with burning vegetable matter, and that the dabs are somehow cleaner or better for you. What's your commentary on that?
So the data that Mallory gathered suggests that a lot of folks really do think that. And in theory, that is the case. But I would say the argument for the vaporizer may be the happy medium, in that you would still have exposure only to cannabinoids and mist without that increased elevation in dosage. Mm. And if I thought folks really were doing, you know, half a dab and waiting 15 minutes and then doing the other half, I would say, what's the big deal? But it's a little bit like watching folks do shots mm-hmm. in a drinking game rather than having a nice sip of whiskey.
Yeah, and I saw that myself with, you know, we were kind of making a joke about dibs, dabs, and globs as far as how much one was taking at one particular time. And I was, interviewing this weekend some guys that, you know, they're putting 2 grams of this oil in one puff and taking it all in. I was just amazed by that.
Well, and in all honesty, how high is high? I just feel like it's not a good use of oil.
Yeah, and I start to get the feeling, as, you know, someone in the chat room is mentioning the cost of this. And from my perspective, you know, we've talked about, just with flower, taking a break now and then to bring your tolerance down so that a little bit will do you what a lot does right now. I worry about these guys that are doing these 1 gram globs and 2 gram globs, that you're setting your tolerance up so high that, you know, you end up kind of wasting a lot of the product in the long run.
Well, and in truth, it's funny, because at low doses, we do not see the tolerance development that we see at high doses, and especially with rapid administration like this. So the acute tolerance alone, how much it would take to get a little bit higher even within that smoking session, is rapid. I actually got tenured showing that with alcohol. But the fact that you could, you know, literally save money by doing less, unless these folks are a hell of a lot richer than I am, I think that's the kind of information we need to spread.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We take your live questions on our phone line at 971-533-7111. We also take them in our chat room, where we've got our first live question here, which is, I got to scroll down, almost 50 wanted to know, does the vaporizing temperature affect the THC to CBD ratio? That is, if you do lower temps, do you get more CBD to THC, or how does that work?
Well, so it turns out CBD vaporizes a little higher temperature than THC. And in truth, some of the strains we have just don't have that much CBD anyway, so it's mm-hmm. hard to know exactly. And then I don't often trust the thermometers on some of these vaporizers. So I feel like, you know, the thing to do is to make sure you're not getting any smoke in the tube or whatever mechanism is coming in. And then when you're blowing out, to just have a fine blue mist, really, you know, not smoke that in your exhalation, and you should be doing fine.
All right. We've got a live question here as well from my friend Lindsay. Lindsay Reinhardt is, of course, the chief petitioner for the Compassionate Idaho to get medical marijuana here in the state, and she suffers from multiple sclerosis. And you had a MS-related question, Lindsay?
I did. I was reading up on the newest studies saying that cannabis cannot delay or does not delay the disease progression of multiple sclerosis, and I beg to differ. I feel that the wrong compound was tested, that they ran all the studies on THC instead of CBD. And I was wondering what your thoughts on that are.
In fact, my thoughts aren't even that pharmacological. Those studies didn't have a big enough sample to actually come to the conclusion. You would have had to basically not have MS anymore in order for those results to be statistically significant. I mean, it was such an unfair test and such a lame way of going about suggesting that these things allegedly do not work. That said, we do have data showing that alleviation of some of the symptoms is already there. It would take a really big sample and a long longitudinal follow-up in order to say that it actually interfered with, you know, the rate of progression of the disease. And I think in part, you know, the people who could fund that just don't seem to want to.
Now, of course, they don't want to. So with respect to that, you know, the CBD part of Lindsay's question, do we even really know if CBD or THC have any disease progression capabilities?
Pharmacologically, it would not be impossible for either one of them. It's a neat antioxidant mechanism, although not a direct one, to some of the MS-related, if not causal, at least symptoms. And then CBD, in part because it's hitting those CB2 receptors and the immune system more generally, we're not sure if it would balance some things out in some of the autoimmune components often associated with MS. So I think it is, if not probable, at least possible. And again, we would just need a big enough sample in order to really take a look.
Well, we can give you a sample N equals one. Lindsay, why don't you tell them a little bit about how it's helped you? I mean,
sure. So for me, having a higher intake of CBDs has made a huge difference. And since they raided my house and took my kids and my cannabis, not having the CBDs, which was pretty specific, I mean, yeah, there was THC as well, I haven't been able to function nearly the same. It's been extremely hard to think and to process just pretty much anything. I know that CBD is, the government holds the patent for the antioxidant part and the neuroprotective part. And there were previous studies done, I think in 2011, that had said that CBD would delay disease progression. And I always counted on that. With having cannabis treatment, I was functioning and able to take part in my life, and now that I don't have it, I'm not.
I mean, it just makes me want to weep. Those anti-inflammatory effects are extremely well documented. CBD itself isn't even psychoactive. I feel like they're it's just outraging. I mean, it's really impossible to even comprehend that the government could be this inhumane.
Yeah, it's something we're going to keep fighting, and Lindsay's going to keep fighting for Idaho, and we're going to talk about that next when we come up in our next segment. We're going to do Activist Agenda. But, folks, if you didn't get your chance to talk to Dr. Mitch, get your question in on this segment, you can always go to our contact page, 420radio.org/contact.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show.
So thank you, Dr. Mitch, for joining us here on our remote show from Idaho. When we come back, Activist Agenda. Stay tuned.
To the Russ Belleville
Show.
Talk
to you next week.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
happen. As you can see, it's a deluge. We're getting a monsoon out here in Denver, Colorado. They're covering up the stage with tarps over here. Vendors, everyone is rushing to try to get under somewhere. All looking good. Having a good time, 710.
Let's work.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. 45 after. And, you know, when it comes to the activist agenda, you know, I'm originally born and raised here in the state of Idaho, the Gem State, one of the most conservative states in the union. And on my top three of worst states to be a pot smoker, that would be Florida, Oklahoma, and Idaho. And joining us here, an activist who has few peers at her level, Lindsay Reinhardt, is joining us from Compassionate Idaho and letting us do a show in your home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Just glad to have you on the show, because we were so proud and excited to see you and Cheryl and Simi on The View in New York talking to Baba Wawa. What was that like?
It was really fun. Barbara is a lot less scary in person.
Yeah. I didn't know that she was scary in the first place, but a lot less scary in person.
I had seen that she was anti-cannabis. And
so
I was kind of scared of her, but instead she was really, really nice.
Well, what did you think when she said, you know, one of the first things that Barbara Walters said on that show was, well, you don't look like people who would use cannabis or marijuana, I think she said.
I muttered thank you, kind of confused, but at the same time, I wanted to tell her, well, we don't all look the same.
Yeah, that's true. We do not all look like Cheech and Chong, Harold and Kumar, any of that. So you went to New York City. Was it your first time in New York?
It was.
Or did you get to do anything, or were you just too busy?
Well, we flew in the night before the show. We were able to enjoy some drinks at the bar and prep for the show, and then go to the show and then fly home.
Oh, okay.
So it was different.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I went, but I wish I could have seen more.
Yeah. How about the whole experience of being on a big time network TV show? I mean, they got makeup and all that stuff going on.
It was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'll admit I puked that morning.
Oh, my.
But it was okay. Once that was out, I was a lot better. And then it was just really fun. I mean, they whisk you in, and I'd never been in hair and makeup before, and I don't usually wear much makeup at all.
Right, right.
So they're like, oh, well, you were supposed to do your own makeup. And I said, I did. And they said, you're not wearing any. And I said, that's kind of the point of makeup.
Not in New York City, dear.
No. So, but it was fun. It was fun to do that. But we got to hang out with Whoopi Goldberg for most of the time we were there.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Yeah. Did she have anything to say about, I mean, I know she's got a past with marijuana and maybe even a present.
She does have both. And yeah. She's not afraid to say it. And she was amazing. When she first saw that we were there, she popped in and she's like, oh, I'm so glad you gals are here. And she's like, we didn't know that there were going to be medical users here. We thought that it was just rec users. She's all, you tell them the truth, honey. You go out there and you tell them what it's like. I mean, yeah. She was just supportive from the minute. And then we all hug her and it's like hugging this amazing energy ball. And she's so, her energy is amazing.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I'll be right back. And we're like, no, don't go, you know. And she's like, I really will be right back. And she came back. She hung out the whole time.
Wow.
It was really neat.
Now, but she wasn't on the segment, though, was she?
No.
That was weird.
It was weird.
Do you think maybe, I mean, that was a purposeful decision or something? Or
I don't know. I mean, yeah. We kind of have to be made with purpose, I would think, of some sort. Maybe yeah. Be too much.
Too obvious to have Whoopi in for the pot segment, maybe?
Maybe. But she was... she was really awesome about it. She's got glaucoma, so...
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, she does. And she's able to live in a medical state, so it's a little bit easier than not in a medical state for her. But yeah, she's got glaucoma, and she was very happy that there was a patient there, patients, yeah. to tell what it's like.
Yeah, and you know, I thought the segment went really, really well. I had some quibbles with, you know, trying to portray pot smoking as being this terrible thing. Well, I mean, we understand vaporizing is a healthier thing and maybe patients need vaporizing more, but I think all in all, I mean, that's inside baseball. That's like us being really close to the issue and knowing what's going on from the mainstream point of view. Average soccer mom watching this thing, what do you think she took away from it?
I hope the average soccer mom took away from it, at least on my part, for what I had to say, that, you know, cannabis isn't bad for everything, you yeah. know, that they, because there's so many people that aren't educated in it at all.
Yeah.
You know, just to even have the three of us on there, one talking about a vaporizer and Simi with her car accident and Cheryl's cancer and my MS, maybe opened up some eyes that,
yeah.
hey, this is a really real issue in our country and we're finally making it onto daytime talk.
Yeah, this is great stuff. And I know more stuff's coming out. We'll keep everyone apprised on that. But Lindsay, let's talk about your story. Last I was out here in Idaho, we were getting up on the steps of the Capitol to make some noise against some people's recommendation even. But I think the noise worked. And what can you update us on what's happened since the press conference and, all, you know, the kids being taken, all that stuff? Give people the rundown.
To be completely honest, Russ, that was so you helping me just with even the idea. It really helped keep pressure on Idaho. Most people hide their heads in shame and feel shamed and are shamed by their communities. By taking it public, I mean, literally crying from the Capitol steps that we didn't do anything to our children. We didn't hurt them. They were mm-hmm. fine. It put a lot of pressure. It put a lot of pressure on the cops, that put pressure on the prosecutors, that put pressure everywhere to, you know, probably be a little bit more careful than they normally would be
mm-hmm.
because the whole world is watching and they are. I mean, from the minute we went on your show, then to the release, we hit Russia, the UK, Germany, CNN's online desk. it went everywhere. And the local outrage behind it, even from some of the most conservative people that you would not expect to be on your side of things sometimes, are like, that's messed up.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge government overreach. And in Idaho, government overreach isn't something that
right.
people really like.
Right. Yeah, just as background on that, folks, you may have heard how Idaho, the Senate, went and passed a resolution almost unanimously to say, no how, no way, never, ever will we ever legalize wacky tobacco for any damn reason, ever, ever. Like, but at the same time,
it was their temper tantrum.
Yeah, it was their little temper tantrum. But at the same time, there was another bill that was to call on the federal government to go enforce the Controlled Substances Act in Washington and Colorado.
Right.
And Idahoans said no. The Senate said, no, wait a minute. That's states' rights, man. We don't want to trot on Washington and Colorado.
Right. Well, the senator that brought it up was Senator Winder, and he'll kind of go, he'll bring up anything that you really don't want to see in legislature to begin with. And finally, I mean, it passed through the Senate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the House. And finally, one Republican was like, you know, my constituents, they didn't put me here to vote like this. He's like, we wouldn't want Washington to tell the feds to come into our state to control something. He's like, we would be really upset.
Yeah.
We cannot talk like that. So there was one voice of reason in this room of, if we're going to stick to our party lines, and Idaho is really, really Republican, mm-hmm. and Republican is states' rights, then we can't tell the federal government to do its job it's already doing quite freaking well, and to go into another state and do that, because we wouldn't want it done to us.
Right.
And finally, that talked very little sense into these people to get them to think, you know, about their party line platform.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing that saved it, though.
Well, and I think that's why, you know, when people say, I have this contest I have going amongst all the states, when they say, our state will be, Oklahoma. We'll be the last to legalize. We'll be the last one. Everybody, like, this contest to be the last or something. And I don't think Idaho will be the last for those reasons that you mentioned, that there's a strong libertarian streak. There's a strong mind your own business, leave me alone, states' rights kind of thing, that if Idahoans can get the education to understand the medical aspect of it and then apply their mind your own business attitude to it, you can get this passed.
I completely agree. And the libertarian streak in Idaho is strong,
mm-hmm.
and it has been beneficial. There is a very strong mind your own business streak that we love in Idaho. That's part of Idaho. That's part of why I don't want to move from Idaho,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, the people care, but they also don't care enough to be peeking in your windows or, you know,
yeah.
What goes on behind your closed door in your house in Idaho is typically what is your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So this, to a lot of people, was just sickening. And then they find out, you know, that I was a cannabis patient for MS. You know, it's not just some little thing. It was for MS, and people just thought it was really wrong. But to be the last state, I've heard a couple of people say that, and I just kind of chuckle. Because I don't think we'll be the last. I don't think we'll even be near the last.
No.
I think it'll be a lot sooner than most people care to realize.
And it's going to be harder and harder for Idaho to withstand when you've got two legal states near it and medical marijuana states surrounding it. It's only a matter of time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they can't lock down the borders. They've tried.
They've tried.
And they can't keep it from growing. Last summer, they found 42,900 plants in one grow in one of the most conservative counties in the state, which was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So clear. And it looked like a compassion grow. There was no booby traps, no video cameras,
sure.
no armed guards. Each plant had its own sprinkler, and they were all hybrids. So everybody that, you know, thinks it's like, that's a compassion grow, not a cartel grow. Of course, we were all told it was a cartel grow.
Of course.
But yeah, it's, we're not going to be one of the last states. We're probably going to be a lot sooner. We need to get it done this time.
Well,
they changed the petitioning laws. So this time, now.
Let's talk about that, the political aspect in the future. Well, before I get to the future, let's talk about where you're at as far as the legal system. You got your kids back. Your lovely son is running around here having a lot of fun.
Eating
some chips. and Josh is here, and you know, family's here, but I mean, are you in a legal limbo right now? Is there a possibility of still getting some, you know, criminal charges or anything?
In Idaho, there's always a possibility of criminal charges. It's, you know, come on vacation, leave on probation sort of place. but, you know, we've got the kids back. The CPS charges for criminal were dropped quickly after the kids were returned. I mean, quickly is such a messed up word for this situation.
Sure.
It was 17 days and it felt like hell, and it was a really long time.
Yeah.
So these ladies and, you know, their couples or whoever that have their kids missing for 6 months, a year, 18 months, adopted out permanently. It's so hard. Like, I almost have like some weird survivor's guilt of, I got my kids back, but these people are just like me and they don't get theirs back,
mm-hmm.
you know? So with CPS, the biggest problem that we have with CPS right now is they want to put us on a registry saying we abused or neglected our children because I had my medicine in the house to treat my illness. My kids aren't abused or neglected. Clearly you can see that. He's eating chips right in front of you.
Yep.
So, and, you know, we've we've talked about it. We've gone over it. We've appealed it once because they want to put us on a 10-year list saying that. And Josh, I mean, he's been taking care of me for 6 years. I mean, he's been taking care of me for 8.5, but I've had MS for 6. And that we know of, I mean, it goes back further than that. But every job that he'd be qualified to do, if you're on a registry saying you abuse or neglect somebody,
right,
and that's on a federal background check, you're screwed.
Right.
And I want to go be able to treat my MS so I can go back into the working pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see myself working anywhere but with vulnerable population. So to have that allegation made when our kids are happy, healthy, loved.
Yeah.
I mean, loved so much. It's sick.
It is sick. And it's just, it's an extrajudicial tool that they use to get around, well, we can't bust you for this or that or this or that, but hey, we can use the leverage of your children. We can use CPS, where the regular rules of discovery and trial and all that don't really exist, do they?
They don't. And with not, they still haven't pressed criminal charges, and I pray to God they don't.
Yeah.
But we can't get anything out of discovery for a criminal case unless they file criminal charges. So I guess that's the one discovery you don't ever want to see.
Yeah.
But they did give us discovery with the kids case. Yeah. And you know, there's stuff in there that we're really hoping on a second appeal now that we'll be able to not be on the registry. But I'm scared. I'm scared of the Boise Police Department. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to think that I'm doing something when I'm not and yeah. decide that they should just come on in. I mean, I'm scared. I'm scared yeah. here.
And you shouldn't be scared. We're going to talk more about this in hour two. We got to wrap up here for hour one. In the next hour, we'll talk about the future for Idaho, for marijuana legalization, for medical marijuana, what you guys might have planned, what we can do to change this. And folks, if you want to help Lindsey Reinhart and the Idaho 3, I've got a new Rad Russ link for it. You can go to rad-r.us/ID3donate. Number 3, ID3 donate. But that's all the time I got. Thanks to Brian the Red back in Portland, Oregon for holding down the studio. I'm Radical Russ out here in Boise, Idaho. Talk to you next hour. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you drink it.